for the morning to your pizza. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
Father God, good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning to Jesus believers all over this world, universe, actually. I counted all, all God and all joy, peace to be here this morning, you know, alive and well, because like I try to explain explain to everybody that I have dealings with, God is real. God is so real. That's all I, you know, God is real. He's just real. And sometimes, you know, when people talk to me about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and they tell me, you know, they say, I know God, and I believe them. I take them at their word, you know, because why would you say you know God if you don't know God? But sometimes I find out, if I know him after a while, this is not everybody, and I know I'm talking to a lot of people this morning, but I find out that they're just getting to know him, just beginning, and then some of them don't even know him. They know religion, or they know what they've been told about God. And they accept that as knowing God. But brothers and sisters, there's a lot. There's a lot that comes with knowing God for yourself. And in the past, I have gotten in a lot of trouble, not with God, with people. And I get in trouble with people because they know of God, and some of them will even say things to me like, you know, I've been in the presence of God, but I want to share something with you this morning. You cannot go into the presence of God and not be changed. I mean, that ought to be like, I don't know, that ought to be like understood. So what happened with me, and in your knowing God, you don't stay on the same, in the same spot forever. There are, it's like when I know you, let's say I know you and we become, first we're just acquaintances, we just know each other. And then the longer we know each other, the better acquainted we become. And then even longer, what might happen is we might develop a deeper relationship, and we might even get to be friends. Well, I want to share something with you. I've said it before, but I don't think people invest enough time in people. And by that, this is what I mean. When people call me up, They never really genuinely call me up to be friends. They call me up because they want something more, they looking for something more, or trying to get an answer to a question. And that's okay. That's okay, because I've learned over the years to allow God to make my friends. If God doesn't make my friends, they don't last anyway. And that's just how it is. Because I lead a very, very, very disciplined life. And it's hard for a person to be around me and not lead a life in Christ. I don't have any other agenda. I don't have any other plans. I don't have nothing else in my life but the Lord and my family, of course. But my number one purpose is to obey God and to, now, to do what he says do. Yesterday, the day before, God started moving upon me. I think it might have been a week ago. I would have to go back and think about it, but I was out of it yesterday. I was sick. And you heard me say I was sin sick. Well, there is something called sin sickness. And the only way you'll know you really sin sick is when you go in the presence of God. Because God cannot look upon sin. And the sin sickness happened because the church opened, officially God opened it. Yep. God opened this church officially on Saturday. And glory be to God, he opened it by manifesting his presence. I mean, in a profound way. But it started that whole week. The whole week it was going on. And what happens, brothers and sisters, when you go into the presence of God, you can read about it. You can read about it in Daniel. Daniel said that when the angel Gabriel left him, he was sick unto death. When you encounter a manifestation of the presence of God, your human body can't take it. Your human body cannot take it. And anywhere there's sin, now you gotta understand, God counts sickness as sin, because the Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Even although in that particular passage they were talking about eating. But the Lord says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And the Lord says that all liars and all faithless, going to have their place in the lake of fire. So when God opened up this church and told me to open it up now, he said, I want you to have your first service now. And he put an emphasis on now. And he also let me know how to run the service Fridays. Teach people, is what he told me, on Fridays. Teach people how to receive deliverance. And teach people how to receive me, himself. So he said, I want you on Fridays. Friday evening to teach people how to receive me and teach people how to receive deliverance. And then on Saturday, I want you to deliver them in a mass deliverance. So I said, okay. And he said, I want you to start right now. Well, I was thinking, there's only one person here and they flew in. He said, yeah, with the one person. He said, I don't care if it's one person. I want you on Fridays to teach people how to receive me. And if they receive me, then you teach them how to receive deliverance, and then they'll be delivered on Saturday. That gives them time to go back to their wherever they're sleeping and process what you taught on Friday. And then receive it on Saturday. I said, okay. So when the one person came, we sat over in the fellowship and talked and laughed for a bit. And then God said, now it's time to get up, go over to the sanctuary. So I said, let's go over to the sanctuary. And when we came over to the sanctuary, God was already here. Because he had never left from the week before when the young 28-year-old, came back to Christ. And God had called him in Sunday school. I guess that would have been at least 20 years before. Then I prayed with some people over the phone, and it was awesome. So God had delivered. And then I had been praying for this sanctuary and for this whole building here, this whole 17,000 square feet. I wasn't going to open it until God showed up. I was not going to open this church. I was not going to open this ministry until God did it. And he did. Well, in doing that and manifesting his presence, brothers and sisters, God convicted me. I mean, convicted me of sin. Made me so full, wrapped me in his comforts, and Brother Joe went out and bought me a new blanket yesterday, and I prayed over the blanket and wrapped up in it, and I was literally sick. It was a sickness that I can't describe, and what had happened is I had not told my sister something that I should have told her years ago. I mean, I had not, and God counted this as sin, by the way. I had failed to tell my sister that God had called our father, our biological father, who was a soldier in the army, a career soldier. And all of us have, me and my sisters and brothers, all been in the military, all of us. We come from a military family. But what happened is I had failed to tell my sister that our father had rebelled against God. You see, God called my father to preach. And my father, I heard him. I heard him tell my mother. My father was a weekend alcoholic. My father would be sober Monday through Friday, but around a Friday evening after 5 or 6, my father would start getting drunk. And he would get drunk on Friday, and he would be drunk on Saturday. And then he would sober up on Sunday to go to church, and so that he would be completely sober to go to work on Monday. And I knew this, but I did not want to tell my sister that our father had rejected God. And had, this is what my father said. My mother and I heard him say, the army is my God. You know, and I was little. I didn't think anything about it. But I remember hearing my mother like crying and telling my father that he shouldn't be saying that, and that he knows better, and that I heard my mother tell my father that he was running from God. And I heard my father say, I'm not running from no effing God. And my mother said to my father, you saying that, and you saying that in front of Erica. And my sister didn't remember hearing anything like that, and my brother, he was just a baby. And so my father, like, put on his coat and went to the bus base, to the post. Well, 2 weeks later, my father was called to Vietnam as an advisor. And 3 weeks later, he was dead. They killed him. And my mother remembered that. And my mother told me, yes, don't tell anybody that you heard that. And frankly, I forgot about it until yesterday. When God filled me with the comforters, love and the comforter, and I wanted everybody to have that love, I even sent my sister that text. I sent all my relatives that. I just want everybody to know that God loves us and it's forever. And then the Holy Spirit said, now call your sister up and tell her, because she has questions in her mind and she's done had them ever since your father died. So in tears, because I was getting sicker and sicker and sicker as I was sitting here and thinking about my father, thinking about I kept that family secret. I never told my sister or anybody. And I never knew if my father went to heaven. Because, you see, I heard them say that. And guess what? That same curse fell on my brother. Because my brother had the same exact attitude as my father. The exact, they were like, I mean, you would have thought, and you probably were, because what was happening is that familiar spirit from my dad that killed my father went into my brother. And it killed my brother too. So I called my sister and we got that straight yesterday. We got that straight. And my sister said, because remember, I left home, went to the army too. And so my sister said, well, that answers a lot of questions for me, because my sister was around my brother and I was around my father. And so we handled that yesterday. And then God began to show me other things that, you know, that I thought were little, but I didn't really realize they were sin. So what am I trying to get to you this morning? This. When you really go into the presence of God, you will be convicted of all of your sin. You will be convicted of any sin in your life. You cannot. Please hear this. You cannot go into the presence of God and remain the same. Something in you is going to change. Something in you. Now, I realize I realized a lot of things but over these past 2 weeks, 3 weeks, however long this has been going on. I am so thankful to God that it happened in my life. I'm so thankful to God that he loves me so much. Brothers and sisters, please. You see, even if it's not for you, you seek God and you pull on God until he manifests his glory. You see, when you go into the presence of God for real, what he changes will not be something you think you've been, that'll get changed too. But he's going to change something deep inside of you that can determine or will determine your destiny, especially your destiny in him. And if you are afraid to confront your own sins, how can they be confronted? Well, when you go in the presence of God, you don't have to worry about it because he's going to bring it right up to the light. He's going to bring it right out of the darkness into the light. Yesterday, I was so weak. Actually, when I was even crying on this air, I thought I was dying. I really thought I was dying. And as I thought I was dying, I was like happy and sad at the same time. I was happy, but I was sad because I thought I was leaving here, and in my own mind, I felt like I hadn't completed and I hadn't done a good enough job, and I didn't want to leave here not having finished. But then I was rationalizing like, well, if I'm dying, I'm going to go be with God. So I better confess any attitudes. I better confess all my sins so I can make it. Because I want to experience that love that I felt engulfed in. I want that the rest of my life. And I want it in heaven, and I want it on earth too. And not like I don't feel like I'm greedy. I just feel like it's a benefit that's available to me, and God gives it, and I should have it every day, all the time, every place. And you know what? I feel like you should have it too. I feel like the whole world should have it. I feel like, and I still feel like I got to tell everybody everywhere. It is literally indescribable. And I don't want it anymore with any sin in me. I can imagine what it feels like, what it will feel like. Because you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You don't go to heaven to be saved. You be saved to go to heaven. You don't go to heaven to be saved. You got to be saved to go to heaven. Are you hearing me this morning? I can remember, and it just didn't even make sense. Yesterday, when I was laying there, wrapped up in my new comforter, The comforter was not too heavy, but it wasn't too light. I don't know where, Brother Joe, I know where he got it from, but I believe God had this particular comforter waiting for Brother Joe to come and get it for me. And all I could think about all day, I did maybe talk to a few people about a few things. I wasn't thinking about, you see, this love that God has, it's such a perfect love that it encompasses a lot of people, but yet you by yourself at the same time. But you by yourself could not experience this love, or this love could not be contained by you by yourself. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. It's a love that God has to bring you into. It's a love that God has to, I don't know how, it's a love that, I know it just can't be taught with words, I can tell you that. But then, you know, I know I'm just sharing with you, right? I'm just sharing this. Am I correct? I know, I realize I'm just sharing this with you. Because I guess if I wanted to sum it up, no matter what you have, and no matter what you've experienced, there's more. There's more. There's more. Even through what I went through, there's more. You know how I know there's more? Because when God woke me up this morning, I was thinking I was going to be off my feet today too, because I had no strength in my leg. I couldn't walk. I had to lean on Brother Joe to walk. What was God showing me? He was showing me Brother Joe is my covering. He was showing me that how much Brother Joe has protected me. And then when I sat down, Jose brought me something to drink. What was God showing me? That all the stuff you went through with Jose, he's still here. He's still with you. And what happened, I see, I don't want to start crying again. But I can't help it. The people that call me on the phone felt the one not many. But the ones that did, I felt genuine love shooting through the phone. Oh man. God gotta teach you how to love. And let me tell you this. God wants that love reciprocated. He wants them to love you, and he wants you to love them. He wants me to love you, and he wants you to love me. And he rewarded me. It might not seem like, remember the way up with God is down. The way up with God is down. So now I wasn't only brought down to my knees, I was brought down to the lowest denominator, off my feet. Couldn't breathe. I had to depend on him for my next breath. God is manifested himself, as he always has. Anything that God has ever done for you is because he loves you. Any prayer God ever answered for you, because he loves you. Any prayer God ever answered for you to one of your relatives, because he loves you. He loves it when you love somebody so much that you will intercede, that you will literally put your life on the line for somebody. He says it in his word. God loves that kind of stuff. And you know what? It isn't that God wants me to say, God loves me. No. He wants me to say, God loves each and every one of us. He loves each and every one of us. And he's such a big, amazing God. He can love you individually and bring you into that love that he has for each and every one of us. But yet, you will know it individually. You'll feel it. You'll know it. You'll possess it. You'll possess it to the point that you then can share it. That's why the devil, every demon that exists, has a selfish motive. Every devil that exists has a selfish intention. Every witch, wizard, sorcerer, shaman, every act of witchcraft, ritual, has a selfish intention. Did you know that? And what makes it so selfish is the fact that it is so devastating to you that you got to spend all your time selfishly trying to get yourself free from their selfish agenda. When God began to I forgot to tell you. While I was down, I felt for a minute like I was hallucinating. God was flashing pictures, flashing this in front of me, that in front of me, this and that. And I told Brother Joe and Jose, I said, I feel like I'm hallucinating because I'm seeing all these visions and they're coming so fast. And I said, I'm not hallucinating, am I? It's like God was saying, watch out for this. Now, when you turn this corner, this is going to be there, but you got to go the other way. Da, 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 da. And so finally, I said, Holy Spirit, what is this? He said, this is preparation. And God will be showing you things before they happen to prevent things from happening. But he's letting you see now that he's God and how fast he's showing it to you. And then he's going to bring it back slowly as you sort it out through his word. I said, oh, okay. And I just lay there, could not move. And God just showed one thing after another, after another, after another. So then I said, because I don't have nothing this morning. It was too much. It was overwhelming. God will overwhelm you with his goodness. And at the same time, I said, where can I find all this that I'm going through? He said, I tell you what, I told you before where to find it. I prepared you for this. And I said to myself, now this is me. I said, no, you didn't, to myself. And the Holy Spirit said, yes, I did. So then I crawled back down, crawled back down. When I said, no, you didn't. See, I was trying to get back up on that high horse again. I crawled back down. I said, well, could you show me where I can understand it? He said, that's where I want you. I got you just where I want you. I got you just in the position. Now, I could teach you some things. I said, okay. He said, but without love, you couldn't have comprehended it. Not the way you have to comprehend it. He said, I had you living and moving and comprehending by faith. He said, but now I'm going to have you living and moving and comprehending by revelation. I said, could you give me an example? He said, yeah. This is where you are now. And brothers and sisters, I'm out of the testing mode of living by faith. See, there's a level where we have to live by faith. But then there's a level where we live by revelation. Because it's all revealing. The book of Revelation, the revealing of Jesus. The Bible, the revealing of God, the revealing of the Holy Spirit, the revealing of Jesus. He said, but it has to be done and filtered through love. He said, you love me. Yes, I know you do. And a whole bunch of other people love me too. He said, but that's not what I want from you. I said, okay. What do you want from me? He said, John 3:16. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son to save it from death to life. He said, that's all that's in the book of my New Testament. He said, but remember how you teach about God made man, God made. That all of that is perfectly, absolutely my will. He said, but now you're going to into I told you where he said I was going into. And I asked him, I said, can you show me in the word so I can understand? So here's what you need to read. You read it today, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. I want you to read it today for yourself. I already read it. That's Daniel chapter 2. This is the way he had me read it. Excuse me for 1 minute. I'm going to try to make sure I got this right. Because I read it out my Bible, my hard copy Bible. Okay. Daniel chapter 1 and Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 1 and Daniel chapter 2. Are you writing this down? I want you to read it today. Daniel chapter 1 and Daniel chapter 2. And I want you to see, because see, you got to get the revelation for yourself. I'm sharing it with you. But I'll even share. In Daniel chapter 1, This is what he gave me, verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. That would be 17 and 19. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king in all matters of wisdom and understanding. That the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Now that's what he gave me. But see, you got to read this for yourself. Then, I'm trying to see what he gave me in Daniel 2. Then he told me to go to Daniel 2. And the angel was right there with me. In Daniel 2, I was led to 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Don't start, please. Oh, God gave me that before. It don't matter. An angel brought it. An angel gave it. And God is not like you, or not like me. You can read some a million times until he puts his light and revelation on it. You ain't got it. You don't have it. And you're not even in alignment with his will. If you're not waiting for him to show you, if you think you could jump out there in your own mind and in your own reason and in your own understanding, you can. And that's what a lot of people have done. And guess what? God wasn't in it. He wasn't in it. Because they didn't bother to wait to ask him, what, God, are you saying to me? What, you know, just the... This is what you should be asking God. I tell you, it's a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous position to go into the presence of God for real. And for those of you that think you in and out of his presence, and you haven't been deeply changed, if you haven't been deeply immersed in his comfort, by his comforter, and felt his real presence, because God is what? God is love. To know God is to love God. To love God is to know your other brothers and sisters that are filled with that same love. To know the world. And to know that this whole world is in need of that. And then be moved with compassion to do something towards God or for God in his kingdom. You're living in his kingdom on this earth, and you ought to know that. You ought to be aware of it, and you ought to want everybody to have that. Because what? Then you're becoming selfless and God more. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome relationship with our Lord and Savior. Am I saying, oh, God, everything's going to be perfect? It is in one day, but let me tell you what happened right now. Right now, when you acknowledge and enter into his kingdom, he starts making wrong right. He starts making bad good. But it don't start high up, brothers and sisters. It starts down low. I always used to say, Jesus said, but now I know the real meaning of it, okay? Lo, L-O, I am with you always. Lo, lo, I am with you always. Some of you gonna have to make some choices. I hope you make them. Don't forget, read that. I shared with you the parts that got highlighted by the angel to me. I'm still receiving. Probably don't, now that he's going to tell me to open up the church. I got a lot to do. What about you? I mean, the church is open. Church is open. Can I tell you something else, God? You see, the majority of the people that I sent those texts to, some of them were right at a point, believe it or not, where they really needed a word from God, some kind of word. A lady called me up, and I was feeling bad. I was feeling however I was feeling. The phone was on the table. The Lord said, just pick that up. I picked it up. And this lady said, I came back. I came all the way over there to see you in Dalton. I said, really? I said, well, now you know, don't drop in. Because when she came, I asked whether to join them to tell them I just couldn't see them. And God told me, you don't go out there. Don't go near them. And I thought about that. What I just, and that was it was during COVID. Do you know, she called me and she said, we all had COVID. I said, what? The devil sent them here to me with COVID. But God told me, don't even let them in the house. In the church, in the fact, don't let them in at all. And God, when I hung up the phone, he said, see, I'm your protector. He said, I have been protecting you. I am protecting you. And I will always protect you. I protect you from things you don't even know that are going to harm you. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. God is your protector. God is protecting you. God has protected you from things. know, were sent by the devil to hurt you. What can we say then? If God is for us, who in the world can be against us? They can form weapons, but they will not prosper. I said, God, you are just more wonderful. He said, I've given you the anointing over demons. You don't have to worry about no demon, nowhere, no time, no how, no way. He said the same thing goes for witches and wizards. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment, you shall condemn it. He said, you shall condemn it. You condemn it? In line with my word, every prayer will be answered, just like Daniel. The Lord heard you when you first uttered that prayer. But a war was going on. A war was going on. And the angel had to fight the war before bringing the final answer to you. Here it is, Erica. Downpour of my love. And then you know what I understood? A downpour of his love is a downpour of himself. Woo-hoo-hoo. You get that? Did you get that? A downpour of his love is a downpour of himself. He is love and does everything by love. You receive by love, brothers and sisters. That's just the end of it and the beginning. Let God convict you of your sin. He wants to give you a downpour. A downpour. A downpour of what? Himself. He is love. But guess what else? You don't get that downpour without paying the price. What's the price? Give up your sin. Give up your sin. Okay? Just give up your sin. That makes you what? An overcomer. Don't you listen to what Satan has to say.
you can hold on, there's help on the way. And before you win a race, you've got to run. So just put your faith in Jesus, and you're sure overcome. I've been all the way around. I know that I can make it from the battle that's already been won. Jesus gave me the power to face all my trials. So let the world rage. I'm gonna overcome. Already been won. Jesus gave me the power to face all my trials. So let the world rage.